Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to take a whole stack of information and really pull out the key nuggets for you.
That's the plan.
And today, we're looking into a story that, honestly, it just presents this really stark, kind of unsettling paradox.
Mm-hmm.
So picture this. A global brand, huge sponsorships, you know, FC Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain, Italy's Serie A.
The biggest names, really.
Exactly. Millions of customers, they say, over 130 countries, industry awards. Looks like massive success, right?
On the surface, absolutely. Peak commercial achievement.
Well, here's a twist we're unpacking. The architects behind this whole empire, it's three Russian founders. They're international fugitives.
Yeah.
Warrants out for their arrest from their own country, Russia, for running a huge illegal gambling operation.
And that contradiction, that glaring difference between the image and the reality, that's not a bug. It seems to be the central feature of their strategy.
So that's our mission today, then, to understand how this, like, aggressive reputation laundering through sports is really just a smokescreen.
Exactly. We're looking at how 1xBet, based on our sources, seems to be a prime example of modern, kind of hybrid Russian transnational organized crime.
Hybrid.
Meaning it blends the illicit stuff, the criminal enterprise, with this quasi-legitimate global business front. And it uses these deep, complex ties, apparently, to the Russian state security apparatus.
Wow. Okay, this is going to be quite a journey behind that glossy facade. We really want to help you get informed fast on something that goes way beyond just business.
Definitely.
All right, let's start where it gets really interesting. The people behind it. This Bryansk trio. Sergei Karskov, Roman Semyokin, and Dmitry Kazorin. Who are these guys? Why are their backgrounds so critical here?
Okay, the absolutely key figure, you have to start with Sergei Karskov. Now, he wasn't just some former cop.
Yeah.
He was a major in Russia's Ministry of Internal Affairs, the MVD. And get this, he led the regional department for combating cybercrime in Bryansk.
Wait, combating cybercrime? The very thing.
The very thing. The guy officially tasked with stopping illegal online activity was, at the same time, co-founding what became one of the world's biggest illegal online gambling empires.
Audacious.
It's profound. Think about the implications. He'd have the technical know-how, right? Building resilient online criminal networks.
And how to evade the cops.
Exactly. Insider knowledge of law enforcement tactics. And crucially, it really suggests the whole thing was launched with high-level protection from day one, what the Russians call Krisha.
The roof.
The roof, yeah. Protection from the start. And we have to mention, Karskov died June 2023, only 42.
Oh, how?
Reportedly, a rare allergic reaction during a medical procedure in Switzerland. But given the pattern of, let's say, mysterious deaths among Russian businessmen holding sensitive information, it's viewed with a lot of suspicion.
Okay, so Karskov is the security tech insider. What about Roman Semyokin, the Bryansk billionaire?
Semyokin seems to be the business and money guy, leveraging influence, political connections back in the Bryansk region.
Connections like what?
Well, there are reports of a joint business venture he had with the wife of a former Bryansk mayor who was also a Duma deputy for the ruling United Russia Party.
Ah, okay. So, deep political links. That helps explain how it could flourish.
It points strongly toward that kind of patronage, yes.
And the third member, Dmitry Kazorin, the architect. What's his piece of the puzzle?
Kazorin is really interesting because he links the illegal international operation with the supposedly legal one back in Russia.
How so?
Russian company records actually list him as a founder of Bookmaker Pub LLC.
And Bookmaker Pub LLC is?
That's the legal entity that operates the licensed Russian betting site One Piece Stavka.
Whoa. So the same guy involved in the illegal global brand is founding the legal Russian one.
Exactly. It just demolishes any claim that these two things are separate. It shows the legal clone is just a construct managed by the same fugitive leadership.
So around 2014, things tighten up in Russia, regulations change, and these three make a move.
A very strategic one. They got Cypriot citizenship, relocated the HQ, officially at least, to Cyprus.
Putting them outside Russian jurisdiction, inside the EU.
Right. Another layer of legal financial protection or obfuscation.
Which brings us to the company structure itself. You called it a masterclass in obfuscation.
I did, borrowing a phrase from Analysis. It's meticulously designed. The goal isn't efficiency. It's to hide who really owns it, to frustrate regulators and protect the core criminal enterprise. It's like a weaponized bureaucracy.
Weaponized bureaucracy.
Yep.
That's a fascinating term. So how does this shell game actually work? How does it give them plausible deniability for, well, potentially illegal stuff worldwide?
Okay, so publicly, right, it's 1xBet Cyprus-based, holds a Curaçao e-gaming license, looks sort of standard for the industry.
He gives it that veneer of legitimacy.
Exactly. But we know the real roots are Bryansk, Russia. That disconnect geographical legal is step one. Then they use several key tools.
Like what?
First, the franchise model. This lets the main brand rake in profits globally, but keeps it legally separate from local operations.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Nigeria. There, a company called Beaufort Bet Nigeria Limited owns and runs the 1xBet brand locally. They hold the Nigerian licenses.
So if something goes wrong in Nigeria,
it hits Beaufort Bet, not the global parent, theoretically. It's a legal firewall.
Okay, that makes sense. What else?
Second, the affiliate network. 1xBet Partners. It's massive. They claim over 100,000 affiliates.
And this is key for illegal market penetration.
It appears so. A huge chunk of their customers reportedly come from ads on websites that illegally stream pirated movies and live sports.
Stuff they shouldn't be advertising on.
Right. And when they get called out, like in that big Sunday Times investigation in 2019.
What happens?
They blame the affiliates. Oh, it wasn't us. It was these third-party networks or partners. Plausible deniability again.
Convenient. And the third mechanism.
The bankruptcy gambit. This is quite cynical. It shows how they use disposable companies.
How did that play out?
Well, their subsidiary, 1xCorp MV, the one holding the Curaçao license, was forced into bankruptcy. First in Curaçao in 2022, then upheld by the Dutch Supreme Court in 2023.
Why?
For refusing to pay out millions of euros in legitimate winnings to players.
So they just didn't pay.
Essentially, yes. But for 1xBet globally, it was just a strategic move. That subsidiary took the fall, absorbed the debt.
While the main operation just kept going.
Kept going. Unaffected. They used 1xCorp MV like a corporate shield to just nullify those liabilities.
So putting it all together, this complex web, the franchises, affiliates, bankruptcies.
Yeah.
It's not about smooth business operations.
Not primarily, no. It seems engineered for criminal resilience. Ah. Allows the core to profit from illegal stuff while these disposable shells and deniable partners take the hits.
But does it make them bulletproof? Or are there weak spots? We'll see, I guess.
It definitely makes things difficult for regulators and law enforcement. But as we saw in the UK, not entirely impenetrable. But yes, resilience is the design goal.
Okay, so we've mapped out this incredibly complex, deliberately obscure corporate structure. It's built for resilience, maybe even criminal resilience. But that takes on a whole new light when we look at 1xBet's relationship with the Russian state itself. You mentioned this paradox that they're being prosecuted and protected at the same time. How does that even work?
It sounds contradictory, right? But yeah, in 2019, Russia's main investigative body, the SKR, launched this huge criminal case against Karshkov, Semyokin, and Kazorin.
The founders.
The founders. The charges were serious organizing an illegal gambling enterprise. They calculated it raked in over 63 billion rubles between 2014 and 2019.
Oh, 63 billion rubles? That's what, nearly 900 million US?
Around that, yeah. Huge illegal income. The state seized assets worth about 1.5 billion rubles and put the founders on the international wanted list via Interpol.
Okay, so that's the prosecution part. Sounds real.
It does. But here's the massive twist. While the state is going after the founders of the illegal global 1xBet, it simultaneously allows this almost identical legal clone, 1A Stavka, to operate completely freely inside Russia, advertising everywhere.
The one run by Bookmaker Pub LLC.
The very same. And remember who co-founded Bookmaker Pub?
Dmitry Kazorin, one of the fugitives they're supposedly hunting.
Exactly. From a normal law enforcement view, it makes zero sense. Mm. It's like, you know, declaring war on a cartel, but letting them run a licensed pharmacy next door using one of the wanted kingpins.
So it smells less like eradication and more like control or something else.
That's what the evidence points towards. Control seems more likely than elimination. So what connects these two things, the aggressive prosecution and the tolerance of the clone?
There must be a link.
Well, investigative reports strongly suggest the key is a sponsorship deal.
Another sponsorship.
But a very specific one with FC Dynamo Moscow.
Dynamo Moscow. That name rings a bell. Security services connection.
Deep historic ties back to the Soviet NKVD, right up to the modern FSB. And the club is controlled by VTB Bank,
which is state owned.
Right. Now, 1xBet reportedly paid over 500 million rubles for the sponsorship deal.
Okay. Is that a lot?
It's more than four times the estimated market value, which was around 120 million rubles.
Four times. That doesn't sound like a normal business deal.
It has all the hallmarks of something else. A bribe, maybe.
Yeah.
A tribute. A payment for peace.
Wait, so let me process this.
Yeah.
State launches massive case, puts founders on wanted list, creates leverage. State also allows a clone run by one of the fugitives to operate. Then, 1xBet makes a massively inflated payment to a football club, basically controlled by the security services. And what happened to the big criminal case after that payment?
Reports indicate it just lost steam. The main targets, the founders, reportedly just kind of mysteriously vanished from the active prosecution. Only some lower-level figures ended up facing actual prison time.
So prosecution creates pressure, clone keeps operating, massive payment to state-linked entity, case fades away. That really does sound like a classic shakedown, doesn't it?
The sequence strongly suggests that. It looks like 1xBet bought its way out of trouble in Russia. And in doing that, maybe transformed itself from just a rogue operation into something. Co-opted. Tolerated by the state, perhaps in exchange for a cut or for the potential use of its global network.
A co-opted asset.
Yeah.
Okay. And this pattern of shady dealings, it's not just in Russia, is it?
Yeah.
You mentioned a global playbook of illegal or unethical activities.
Absolutely. What we see is a consistent strategy across borders, seemingly predicated on just ignoring international laws and norms when it suits them. It's like a diversified portfolio, but of criminality.
Okay, break that down. What's in this portfolio?
Right. First, let's look at the UK debacle. This was huge back in 2019. That Sunday Times investigation really blew the lid off.
What did they find?
Shocking stuff. 1xBet was promoting a Pornhub casino with topless dealers, taking bets on kids' sports, even advertising on streams of illegal cockfights.
Children's sports and cockfights.
Seriously.
Seriously. It triggered an immediate investigation by the UK Gambling Commission. Their UK website got suspended, and the Premier League clubs. Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs.
They had multi-million pound deals with 1xBet. They had to drop them fast under threat of prosecution themselves for associating with illegal gambling activities. Major scandal.
Wow. Okay, what else is in this playbook?
Second, the piracy partnership. This seems absolutely fundamental to how they get customers globally.
How so?
They are reportedly one of the biggest advertisers on illegal websites. Sites streaming pirated movies, TV shows, live sports, including Premier League games they aren't licensed for.
So they benefit directly from IP theft.
Massively. It gives them access to a huge global audience on the cheap. And at the same time, their ad money helps keep these pirate sites afloat. It's symbiotic.
And their excuses.
The usual, oh, it's rogue affiliates, not us. But given the scale, that claim wears pretty thin.
Okay, what's next in the portfolio?
Third, this is maybe the weirdest one. The ghost game factories, uncovered by Bellingcat in 2024.
Ghost games? What on earth are those?
It seems they set up these sports betting farms, mostly in Eastern Europe, facilities that stage and stream thousands of really low quality, often completely fake amateur sports events.
Fake events? Why?
Just to create betting content. Something, anything, for people to bet on 24/7 on the 1xBet platform.
So fake teams, fake players.
Reports mention fake teams, players playing for multiple teams back to back, even kids as young as 14 playing in games people were betting on.
That's systemic fraud. And potentially match fixing, exploitation.
Grave concerns on all those fronts. And here's a telling detail. One of these facilities was reportedly partnered with Putin's United Russia Party and Gazprom, the state energy giant.
The connections again. Okay, is there more?
Finally, number four, the house that doesn't pay. Beyond the shady content and advertising, there are just widespread allegations of fraud against their own customers.
Like what?
Go on any consumer forum, you'll find tons of detailed stories. People winning legitimate bets, often large ones, and then funds trapped in endless security reviews, accounts suddenly blocked.
Sounds like they just don't want to pay out big winners.
The pattern points to a systemic practice, and it culminated, as we mentioned, in that formal bankruptcy of 1xCorp MV in Curaçao in the Netherlands, specifically for refusing to pay millions in winnings.
And the fact the main company just shrugged it off shows it wasn't a real failure, just a tactic.
Exactly, a calculated move to ditch liabilities.
So UK, piracy, ghost games, not paying winners.
Yeah.
And authorities have reacted in multiple countries, right? Russia, UK, Netherlands, Curaçao.
Ukraine, Morocco, too. The list keeps growing. The global recurring nature of this behavior is pretty undeniable based on the official responses.
Okay, let's talk about Ukraine specifically. Because the activities of 1xBet there, especially after the 2022 full-scale invasion, seem to take this whole thing to another level, from maybe transnational crime to potentially an instrument of the Russian state in a hybrid war. What happened?
It was genuinely shocking to observers. In March 2022, remember, this is just 1 month after Russia launched its full-scale invasion, Ukraine's own gambling regulator, KRAIL, issued two licenses to a Ukrainian shell company called Your Betting Company, LLC.
To do what?
To operate the 1xBet brand legally in Ukraine.
during the invasion, a company with clear Russian roots.
Exactly. The decision sparked immediate public fury. It seemed completely inexplicable letting a Russian-linked betting firm operate while the country was under attack by Russia.
What was the reaction?
Massive backlash. It led to a public petition that got so many signatures, President Zelensky himself had to formally respond.
So Zelensky got involved. What happened then?
By September 2022, Karail did a U-turn, revoked both licenses.
What was the official reason?
They said they'd received documents from Ukraine's Bureau of Economic Security proving the 1xBet brand was, in fact, controlled by Russian citizens, something the applicants hadn't disclosed.
Okay, so a regulatory breach. But it said the concerns went deeper.
Much deeper. This is where the intelligence angle comes in.
Right. What was the threat people identified?
The International OSINT Open Source Intelligence Volunteer Group Inform Napalm put out a really stark warning.
What did they allege?
They argued that the whole purpose of 1xBet's network in Ukraine, which included related brands they control, like Melbit and Fanspor, wasn't just about gambling revenue. It was about setting up a system to collect sensitive data.
What kind of data?
Personal and financial data of Ukrainian gamblers. Inform Napalm stated flat out that this data is extremely valuable information for the enemy's intelligence service, meaning Russia's FSB or GRU.
How would they use it?
To recruit agents inside Ukraine. Think about it. A database full of names, addresses, phone numbers, bank details, betting habits, potential debts.
It's a goldmine for finding people who might be vulnerable.
Exactly. Vulnerable to blackmail, financial inducement, recruitment.
Did this escalate further?
It went to the highest levels. Ukraine's high anti-corruption court actually ordered the confiscation of almost 2 billion Ukrainian hryvnia.
From who?
From a Latvian registered payment company called Royal Pay Europe. They identified it as basically a financial wallet used by 1xBet in the region.
So if this analysis is right, if 1xBet's platform was potentially weaponized for intelligence gathering in Ukraine,
it completely reframes their global operations, doesn't it?
Yeah, because if they're doing it there, why not elsewhere?
Precisely. Mm. Think about the huge user bases they claim in places like Africa, Latin America, regions strategically important to Russia. Is that vast data trove also seen as an asset by the Russian state?
It's highly plausible. You mentioned an expert comparing them to the Wagner Group.
Yes, someone from the McCollum Convention Monitoring Group that's an international body against match fixing. They described 1xBet as like the Wagner Group of sports betting.
Meaning a semi-private entity used to project Kremlin influence and achieve state goals, but with deniability.
That's the implication. A tool in the hybrid warfare toolkit.
Okay, so let's try and pull all these threads together. We have the founders with security ties, the opaque structure, the global pattern of illegal activity, the weird relationship with the Russian state, the potential intelligence gathering. What does it all mean? Is 1xBet just connected to the Russian mob, or is it something different, more integrated?
Yeah, that's the crucial synthesis, isn't it? If we connect this to the bigger picture, well, looking for a direct documented link to a specific traditional Russian mafia group like the Solnsevskaya Bratva or something, that might be missing the point.
Why?
Because modern Russian transnational crime has evolved. Based on everything we've discussed, the structure, the history, how it operates, 1xBet doesn't need a separate connection to the Russian mob.
You're saying it is the mob?
It looks like a quintessential example of the modern Russian mob in its evolved form. Corporate, state-integrated, transnational.
Okay. What are the specific hallmarks, then, of this new breed of state-linked criminal enterprise that 1xBet seems to embody?
I think we can identify four key characteristics from our discussion. First, the nexus with state security.
Karshkov, the MVD cybercrime chief, co-founding it.
Exactly. That's the original sin. It suggests it was born from within the state security system, not just protected by it later.
Okay, number one. What's two?
Second, systemic corruption and co-option of the state. That whole saga in Russia, the billion-dollar case vanishing after that huge dodgy payment to the FSB-linked football club.
FC Dynamo.
Right. That's textbook use of corruption, not just to evade law enforcement, but to actually co-opt it. It turned the fugitives into protected, state-tolerated assets.
Makes sense. Third characteristic.
Third, diversified transnational illicit operations. We talked about their portfolio of criminality.
Right. Illegal gambling, fraud against customers, the piracy links, the ghost games.
Exactly. It's a global business model built on a foundation of various illegal activities. And managed through that maze of shell companies in opaque places, it mirrors exactly how global criminal syndicates operate.
Okay. And the final characteristic.
Fourth, functioning as a deniable state tool. The alleged weaponization of their platform in Ukraine for intelligence gathering is the prime example here.
Using a supposedly private company to do the state's dirty work.
Potentially, yes. Like private military companies or other businesses the Kremlin uses, one ex-bet could perform tasks that give the Russian state plausible deniability.
So, taken together, these four things paint a picture.
They paint a picture of an entity that successfully laundered its criminal origins into this global, quasi-legitimate corporate giant, but one that seems to remain deeply tied to the Russian state's interests and apparatus.
Which really brings us to the bottom line. What's the ultimate conclusion from this deep dive?
Well, based on the sources and evidence we've reviewed, the conclusion has to be that 1xBet isn't just some legitimate betting company that has a few regulatory problems here and there.
It's something more fundamental.
It appears to be a transnational criminal organization, one with deep ongoing links to the Russian state. Its public face, the corporate structure, looks like a deliberately deceptive shell.
Designed to facilitate what?
To facilitate a global business model built on that portfolio of illegal activities, we discussed widespread fraud, IP theft via piracy, operating without licenses where they should have them.
And founded by that ex-cybercrime chief and his fugitive associates.
Who then seemingly used a corrupt deal involving elements of Russia's own security services to neutralize a massive criminal case against them back home.
Plus the Ukraine dimension, suggesting the platform itself could be a tool for Russian intelligence.
Right. That elevates the threat from just commercial or criminal to potentially national security level in various countries.
So for you, our listener, what's the takeaway here? Understanding this story, what does it mean practically?
It means really rethinking what makes a global brand legitimate. Any kind of partnership, sponsorship, or even just significant engagement with 1xBet or its subsidiaries or its many affiliate brands.
Like Melbit, Fansport, etc.
It carries huge risks. Reputational, ethical, potentially legal risks. Due diligence can't just stop at checking for a local license.
You have to dig much deeper.
You have to ask harder questions about who ultimately owns and benefits from this company. Look at its documented global history of criminality and investigate those established links to foreign states, specifically Russia in this case. This isn't just about betting anymore.
It's about understanding how these modern, sophisticated, state-linked illicit networks operate on a global scale, often hiding in plain sight.
Exactly. Which leads to a final thought for everyone listening. Given how complex and frankly sneaky these state-linked criminal enterprises like 1xBet can be, how do we as international bodies, as businesses, even as individual consumers, need to change our idea of due diligence? When we engage with these big global brands that look legitimate on the surface, what new questions should you be asking about the companies you interact with every single day?